This gospel message is brought to you by the Reformed Witness Hour, a ministry of the Protestant Reformed Churches in America. A Reformed denomination that strives to be faithful to the Word of God and the historic confessions of the Reformed faith, also known as Calvinism. In love for our great God, we proclaim the Christian faith and life that is founded on God's sovereign particular grace. As God's Word is expounded, we pray that these messages are a blessing to you.
Well known to many of us, especially in this time of year, is the true story of Jesus' birth. The inspired Word of God in Luke 2, verses 6 through 11, records for us what happened after Mary and Joseph traveled to the city of Bethlehem, as Caesar Augustus, the emperor, had required. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Dear radio listener, I pray that today's message from God's Word arrests your attention and causes you to think seriously again, or for the first time if necessary, about the reality of the one true God, who is both the God of holy glory as well as a God of tender love. We are such a distracted people, distracted from this one true God. Life is busy, especially in this time of year, which many call Christmas. There is the hustle and the bustle of shopping. There is food preparation. There are parties. There are lights and pictures which attract our eyes, carols and noise. So much noise in our ears. We're so busy, busy, busy with a few important things and many frivolous things. But we like the busyness and the distractions in many ways. We like to keep our minds stimulated by the artificial excitement and happiness all around us. Why? Well, there are various explanations, but here is one reason. We like to distract ourselves because it keeps our mind from thinking about our fears. Yes, fears. Most won't admit it, but there is real fear inside the human heart. Some today point to technology and social media on our phones as the cause of our anxiety and fear, and there is some truth to that. These things certainly don't help us. But within the natural human heart, there is already a root fear, the fear of all fears, and distracting ourselves from this fear doesn't really get rid of it. In fact, over time, there's only an aggravation of that fear. Today, I want to diagnose that fear within and tell you about the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, whose grace relieves our fears. As the songwriter John Newton described it, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, a good kind of fear, and grace my fears relieved. About 2,000 years ago, the citizens of Bethlehem were also busy and distracted like many of us. People packed into that little town, the city of David, as Caesar Augustus, a Roman emperor, commanded them to register with the government and pay what the king demanded in taxes. In the midst of all the busyness, there was no room for Joseph and Mary and for Jesus, who was greater than Caesar himself. And so the Son of God, who had assumed our human flesh, was born in poverty, in a cattle stall, that night, rejected by a distracted people. Not only were the people in town busy and distracted, so also were the shepherds on the outskirts of Bethlehem. Luke 2 verse 8 says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." These men went about their work, busy with the care of sheep and oblivious to God come in the flesh. Understand a couple of things about these shepherds. First, they were unimportant, and second, they were tough, strong men. First, these shepherds are unimportant. They were, as we might call them, nobodies. They were not significant members of society. They were considered those of the lower class. And as a side note, many of us feel the same way today about ourselves. Pop psychology, of course, which is repeated by people all around us, tells us to be proud about ourselves and to think of ourselves as very important, those who will make a big difference in this world. But deep down, there is the lingering thought that we know we're not really that important. Such were these shepherds, common laborers, and yet, wonderfully so, prime candidates from God's point of view for the gospel of His grace. In addition to being unimportant in society, these shepherds were rugged, they were tough, they were strong. Some speculate that they were youths or boys, but that's foreign to the text. In verse 15 of Luke chapter 2, the literal words describing the shepherds there tell us that these were men who had worked outside, outdoors, under the elements day to day and night by night, enduring both the extreme heat and cold. And when verse 8 says that they were keeping watch over their flock, that idea of keeping watch means that they were like soldiers, sentinels, who guarded their sheep, and in the darkness of night were accustomed to watching their sheep in such a way that they were ready to defend them and fight against bears or lions or wolves that would attack the sheep. These were lowly but rugged men accustomed to danger. We read that suddenly to these night sentinels there appeared one angel, and they were sore afraid. Verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Literally, they were afraid with a megaphobia. Let's understand that fear, dear radio listener. Don't get distracted. This helps us diagnose our own fears and anxieties. Think about it. There was only one angel, and there were many shepherds accustomed to guarding their sheep from danger. Why would so many shepherds, who had the advantage of numbers, be so scared about one individual? For one, angels, you must understand, are not as artists depict them to be today. Angels are not slender, feminine fairies. Far less are they cute babies with wings. We need to erase from our mind anything foolish or nice, even, about angels. Whenever an angel appeared in the Bible to a human being, there was always the response or reaction of fear. Never was it something like, "How cute," or "How attractive." So also with these shepherds, when one angel comes, they are very afraid. Angels are really soldiers from heaven. Later on in Luke 2, verse 13, we find more angels show up, and they're called the heavenly hosts. That is, the word host means army, the heavenly army. Angels are soldiers of God's army, invisible creatures, invisible to our human eyes, but able to show themselves. And when they do, they look like winged warriors. More, the word angel means messenger. That means they come from God's throne room, from the very presence of God himself, to bring messages to his people, so that when they speak and they appear to God's people, they don't only bring verbal messengers, but they bring a sight that reflects God's glory. Glory. That's a key word in this text. Glory is the radiant brightness of all of God's characteristics, especially the characteristic called his holiness. Our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12, verse 29 says. When the angel comes to the shepherds in verse 9, we read that the glory of the Lord, this holiness of God especially, shone round about them like a consuming fire, for they reflected this holy God. Why were the shepherds so afraid? Because the fiery brightness of God's holiness made the once dark night brighter than noonday. That's what struck fear in the shepherds, as many as there were and as tough as they were. Consider this great fear. This fear of the burning brightness of God's holy glory reflected by the angel. Is that not the fear of every human being? Don't distract yourself from it. The fear of the shepherds reveals to us the root cause of all of our other fears. For unholy shepherds, sinful shepherds, stood before the pure white holiness of God. And this is what the shepherds instinctively felt, and what we would have felt as well. I'm done for. No man can see this holy God and live. Before the holy brightness of God, a sinner like me is destroyed. I am going to be burned up, and that's the judgment I deserve. Think about it, dear listener. Why do grown men of the toughest sort tremble? They do, you know. Why do we get afraid at night even though we are adults? Why do we feel that trembling inside of us when we hear about the reality of death? Well, it's because every single human being, as much as they try to act tough or distract their minds from it, knows deep down, number one, God is real. Number two, his holiness is hot. And number three, I am a sinner who should be burned in judgment. For the wages of sin is death. Fear of God's judgment is real in every human, whether he or she is willing to admit it or not. But here's the good news. Listen to what the messenger of God, this angel, said to the shepherds, who instinctively knew they deserved to be consumed by God's holy wrath. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not. Fear not? Why not? The angel's answer, for. For indicates a logical explanation for why sinners do not need to fear. For, the angel said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angel literally says, I gospel preached to you. I come not to bring judgment as you deserve, but to bring gospel, that is, good news of salvation from this judgment that you know you deserve. This is what calmed the fear of the shepherds. This is what will calm your fears today. Not the distractions, lights, sports, gifts, or even sentimental stories of cute babies and nativity scenes. What will calm your fear is not self-esteem or the message of a false gospel that you are actually a good person and need not fear judgment. You know, deep down, that's not true. The only thing that will calm your fear is the good news of what Christ Jesus has done. You see, he has been born Savior, the angel said. Savior from what? Savior from your sin and the holy judgment you deserve for that sin. The angel told Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." This is why he came, you see, as a baby to Bethlehem, where there was no room, to a dirty cattle stall with no halo over his head. What was going on when he came was this: suffering. He was already suffering as a child. He was already suffering the holy judgment that sinners like you and me deserve for our sins. This Jesus, the Savior, the Christ, would suffer all his life, and that suffering would only crescendo, it would only increase until that awful cross where he, the Son of God, made flesh, was cursed in the place of all his people. There on the cross, the heat of God's holy wrath burned against him instead of us, sinners. There he said, "It is finished," because he endured all the punishment that is due to us for our sins. That's how he saves his people. Dear listener, believe in this Savior, this Jesus, the Son of God, come as a baby to suffer our just punishment all his life and on the cross. This Savior Jesus did not come to make life easy for us here below. He did not come to deliver earthly presents like Saint Nick. He did not come to give good boys and good girls health and wealth and happiness here below. He came to take the holy judgment of God that sinners like you and me deserve. He came to take that all upon himself so that we might be relieved of all our fears and have instead joy. Believe in this Jesus. Those who believe in him may hear his word from above. Fear not. There is nothing to fear. Your Savior has taken all of the punishment for your sin. You are forgiven before the face of God. And now God's face shines in holiness, yes, but also in love toward you. And all the hardship and trial that is very real in this life is not God's punishment of you as you feared before. Jesus Christ has taken all the punishment. Now your perspective of the trials and hardships on this earth is this: God, our sovereign and wise God, controls all things for your heavenly glory, rather than for your hellish agony as you deserve. Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. All does not mean every single person head for head, but all means all kinds. This salvation is for all kinds. Some great, and some noble, some popular people, some in high positions of great importance in society, but also to lowly shepherds, unimportant people like them, like you and like me. This message is for all kinds of sinners, those who've committed great sins, gross sins, even, but are sorry for them. 'Tis the season for so much busyness and many distractions from fears. And I call you to stop getting distracted. Face your fears. Deal with them. Recognize that all your fears can be traced back to the fear of fears. That is God's holy judgment for your sin. Turn to Jesus, the only Savior. Trust in Him and know Him as the Son of God come in our flesh to take the punishment we deserve. This is the only way that your heart can be freed from fear, and all who believe in Him are saved from sin, from judgment, from fear. He says, peace, peace to you who believe on earth. To conclude, one day this Jesus returns, you know, and when He comes back, you must know He is not coming back as a baby. He is no longer a baby, but now is the glorious, risen, and ascended Lord in heaven. When He returns, He will come with the glory from heaven, and that glory will shine round about Him, brighter than it did to those shepherds 2,000 years ago. When Jesus returns in His holy glory, then those who chose and have chosen to live in darkness without Christ, no matter how well you distract yourself from fear today, you will be sore afraid before His holy glory, and there will be nothing to take away your fear. But to you who believe, repent today, even if you are an unimportant laborer, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. His first coming was to suffer your judgment completely, and His second coming is to make you more glorious than the very angels. Soon you will dwell with Him in glory forever.
The gospel message you have just heard was sponsored by the Protestant Reformed Churches through its radio program, The Reformed Witness Hour. We hope that you have been edified and encouraged by this message. If you would like more information about the Reformed faith or the Protestant Reformed Churches, feel free to visit our website at reformedwitnesshour.org or email us at mail@reformedwitnesshour.org.